Mark chapter 14 is our verse for the year. And this is the title, this is the theme I want us to go into the year with. This wonderful phrase, Abba, Father. Do you want to say that with me? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba is like the word for daddy in Aramaic. It's a very intimate word, Abba, Father. And we're going to hear, pick up the story in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 14. And our verse for the year is simply this in verse 36. We're going to read that one verse, and then we're going to go back and just read the context as I look at this passage for us this morning. So here we go. Mark 14, verse 36. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Let me jump back to verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. This is the night before he was heading to the cross. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Then our verse for the year. Should we just say it together? Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. And when he came back, he found them again sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. So that's the context for this wonderful verse, Mark 14:36, that we're going to have, I hope, in the forefront of our mind as we go through the year, a year when I long and pray that we would, as a church family, grow in our praying, in our relationship with this wonderful Abba Father. So let me pray and ask that God would help us as we look into his word together. Abba, Father, Daddy, we call out to you. You are so great, so able. Father, I pray for a fresh wonder and delight at this immense privilege of talking to you for each one of us here and for each one of us as a church. Lord, we pray that we would come to a greater realization of what it is for you to be our Father. And I pray then you would come by your Spirit now and help me help us to see wonderful things in your word, wonderful things in this verse. For I ask in the powerful name of Jesus, the Savior. Amen. It was the week before Christmas, and I was trying to prepare this message, and you know, there was lots of different things going on, and I thought, this is my time, I really need to get it done. And I was knew I wanted to really emphasize this theme of being close to Father, being close to Abba, being you know, near to Dad. And that when that's the case, then it doesn't matter what you face, it's going to be all right. And I just sensed in my spirit, as I was trying to get this stuff down on paper, that I felt the Lord say, right, well, let's go for a walk together and we can talk about it. You know, father-son type thing. And I'm like, okay, I'll take my notes, and when I get good things, let's leave your notes. Let's just go for a walk together, David. I don't know if you ever get those times where the Lord just impresses something on your heart. Maybe that's something that happens to you a fair bit. Maybe that's something that you don't get much. I'd love that to be an area where you just grow this year, where you just feel that closeness, where God can just prompt you in things. And so I thought a bit apprehensively, well, you know, as long as it's not too long. And I thought, okay, God, let's go. And I just started going out, walking, and it really felt like maybe you've been out a walk with your family this Christmas time, or maybe you used to do that when you were growing up, or maybe you've been a walk with others. And as I've gone out with my family, you know, my girls kind of take my hand and we walk along. And just this wonderful sense of walking with God. Got this little picture here up on the screen. Just kid walking with his dad, hand in hand. Don't know how you see yourself going into this year ahead. There's a Father in heaven. Our Father. Our God. Our Dad. And he wants to walk with us into this year ahead. And you know, as you walk with him, as we go into the year ahead, as we think about this verse, I just want to first say this. Talk to him. Talk to him. He's your dad. He loves to hear our voice. And this phrase, Abba, this kind of concept of being able to speak to God as our dad, he is Yahweh, God unchanging, everlasting from all eternity. And many religions of the world see him as very remote and very distant and very kind of, one who we should only ever kind of speak to with kind of awe and reverence. And he is that. He is the mighty God, the one who is worthy of all our praise and awe. But there's something amazing that happens when through Christ we come to know him by his Spirit coming into our lives. And that is we're enabled to cry out, Abba, Father, Abba. There's a verse in Galatians 4, verse 6, which says this. Galatians 4, I think we got it up here on the screen, says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And in Romans 8, a very similar thing, Paul mentions and says, we have received the Spirit of sonship, the Spirit which enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. And so I want to say this morning that as you go into the year, if you think, I don't know this closeness, I don't really have that sense of God being my Father, then you need to know this Son, this Jesus, who through his Spirit and the gift of his Spirit can enable you to call out to God as our Father, as Dad. And this is what Jesus is doing in this very intimate and very poignant moment for him in the garden. He's crying out, Abba, Father. And it's the phrase he kind of encourages his followers to use in their conversation with God, to think about God as their dad. So when he teaches them to pray in the Lord's Prayer, how does it start? Our Father. That was real revelation to some of the Jews at the time in terms of how to pray, but that was the way Jesus spoke to God, and that was the way he encourages us to speak to God too, to call out, Abba, Daddy. Don't know about, your experience of being around small children. I'm trying to remember back what it's like when they're really small, because imminently I think that's what's about to approach. But you know, one of the things I remember, because it still kind of happens now occasionally, is that my kids will not actually want to say much to me. They'll just want to call out Daddy. So that particularly if it's late at night, or if it's they're meant to be going to bed and they're not, they'll just go, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And you know, when you're babies, I remember, you know, they're starting to learn to speak. And thankfully, Dada is quite easy to say. So often he gets there first and they're, Dada, Dada. This is what this kind of word is like. Dada. And you know, sometimes there's nothing more they want to say. They often make stuff up when they get older and they can't speak. Kind of, they just want you to be there. They just want to be close. And you know, the amazing thing is that God, as a loving Father, wants to be close to us as children. Often think of that bit in Song of Songs where it says, your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. The picture of God speaking to us as people, your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Hey, you know, as a dad, that's what you think about your kids. No matter what they look like. Doesn't matter what they sound like. Their voice is sweet and their face is lovely. So this picture of prayer as we go into the new year as being a relationship with Father God. That's what I want to foster. This is a great book by Don Carson on the Paul's prayers in his letters has this to say about prayer. It says of the various models that can usefully capture both of the aspects of all these different aspects of prayer, the model of a personal relationship with Father is as helpful as any. He says, if a boy asks his father for several things, all within the father's power to give, the father may give him one of them right away, delay giving him another, decline to give him the third, and set up a condition for a fourth. And the child is not assured of receiving something because he has used the right incantation. That would be magic. The father may decline to give him something because he knows it is not in the child's best interest. He may delay giving something else. He knows that so many requests from his young sons are temporary and whimsical. He may also withhold something that he knows the child needs until the child asks for it in an appropriate way. Sometimes do that. But above all, the wise father is more interested in a relationship with his son than in merely giving him things. Giving him things constitutes part of that relationship, but certainly not all of it. The father and son may enjoy simply going out for walks together. Often the son will talk with his father not to obtain something or even to find something out, but simply because he likes to be with him. Is that true? Your dad here, you just like to be with your kids. So I had some time over Christmas, took my girls out to a cafe, and we just had a little special daddy-daughter time, and I knew I was going to be preparing this talk, so I said to Lila, so Lila, you know, what can you talk to your dad about? You know, just thought this might, you know, be useful, and she thought for a moment, I thought this is going to be good. She said, maths. Thought, great, maths. Why did Lila say maths? Maybe she thought, well, no, don't talk to mum about that. Dad's a better person to talk to about that. But also she knows I like maths. And we've been talking about maths recently. She knows I like maths. Passionate about it. Get excited about it. You know, God gets excited about all kinds of stuff. He made the world. Saw it was good. You can talk to him about it. He made you. Gets excited about your life and what you're doing and where you're going and what your hopes and dreams are about. Your work, your fun stuff, your hobbies. He gets excited about that. He gets excited about others and seeing them saved and lives transformed. And he's deeply passionate about that. And you can talk to him about that and love to talk to you about that. You can talk to him about what you see in the news because he's a God of the nations. And he's at work and concerned and all kinds of things. You can talk to him about so many things because God is not boring. He is passionate about so many things. And as you walk with him through this year, I want you to see that he is someone who you can talk to and bring your requests to and find out stuff from. And I'd love you, as you think about this theme of Abba Father, I'd love you to grow in your joy at just talking to your dad about things this coming year. To feel like you can bring them up and you can work at things together. I heard a great quote. In fact, Nick shared it to us. Nick on the time team shared it to us as a staff just before Christmas as a staff team. And it was a quote from a guy called Mark Driscoll where he says this. He says to his church, here's what I don't want you to get that we have to pray. Here's what I want you to get that we get to pray. And I want to say to you exactly the same as that. This year, I don't want you to think, oh, you know, you ought to pray. You know, you have to pray. I want you to get to pray. You and me, we get to talk to God. That is the most staggering and wonderful and amazing thing. And so as you come into this year with that immense privilege, with that immense opportunity, you know, think, oh, wow, how can I make the most of this? You know, these different gadgets and gizmos, the smartphones and the iPads, they've been one of the most popular Christmas presents, and amazing how much time, I don't know, people can spend on these gadgets and gizmos. And there's always like, wow, you can do this and you can do that. And you kind of organize things and you arrange it and you work on it, getting these different apps there and here. And, you know, the amazing thing on it is that you can connect with people different ways. People spend a lot of time connecting through these different gadgets and devices. But you know what? You and I get to connect with God, and we don't have to do it through a gadget. But like with those gadgets, you can work and you can organize it. I was thinking about what Andy shared on that 18th morning just a couple of weeks ago about how God just prompted him to organize his prayer life better, to think about the things he got to pray for. Really challenged and struck by that. Both times I heard him speak on that subject. And maybe as you come into this year, don't think, oh, I ought to pray, I ought to do this. But think, I get to pray. How can I make this work better? How can my talking to God be more kind of, how can I allow more space for it? How can I actually make it happen more? How can I make sure I cover and get a chance to sort of, you know, take time with my dad and talk to him about these group of people and my family and my friends and my work. And I was really struck, actually, Andy, when you went through those things. You talked about praying for government and people in authority, which the Bible, of course, encourages us to do. I know you pray for the Queen and the government. I tell you what, it's worth praying for these people. They have influence. The Queen did a national broadcast, not just to the UK, but to the Commonwealth countries on Christmas Day. I often try and watch it. We just were a bit late for it this Christmas, and it was already started, and we rushed upstairs and turned it on at about this point. It was when they were showing the little nativities. This is about halfway through the Queen's speech. And here we have what the Queen said on Christmas Day to the Commonwealth. Is this going to work? Thanks, Jason. So this is the nativity play.
Jesus was born into a world full of fear. The angels came to frighten shepherds with hope in their voices. Fear not, they urged. We bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a Saviour with the power to forgive. Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith. It can heal broken families. It can restore friendships. And it can reconcile divided communities. It is in forgiveness that we feel the power of God's love. In the last verse of this beautiful carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, there's a prayer. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. It is my prayer that on this Christmas day, we might all find room in our lives for the message of angels and for the love of God through Christ our Lord. I wish you all a very happy Christmas.
Go Queen. Tell you what, I almost had tears in my eyes when I watched that on Christmas Day. She's praying for us. Are you praying for her? She's sharing the gospel with the nation, with her family, speaking about forgiveness, sharing very similar things to what I shared on Christmas Day about the Savior, pointing people to that last verse of A Little Town of Bethlehem, which I've done so many times. Hey, pray. God's at work. He's at work in way, way bigger ways than just what we're doing. He's at work in our city. Pray. I was just praying last night and thinking about how God wants to do stuff in our church this year. And praise God for all he has been doing. But he wants to do stuff in our city as well. I talked a few weeks ago about Easter next year and the passion play that's planned in the city and some of the other events around that. And I believe that, really believe that this Easter coming up could be a time where we as a church family and as a church in this city celebrate Easter like we've never celebrated it before. In fact, just turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah 8, verse 8. Not Nehemiah 8, verse 8 is a great verse as well, but actually it's Nehemiah 8, verse 17. This is Nehemiah coming back to Israel. Big mess in the nation and all the stuff that's going on, but he's trusting God. He's stepping out in faith. Nehemiah, a great man of prayer and action, bringing those two things together. And Nehemiah, he gets them all back to the word of God and back to doing things as God wants them to do. And it says in verse 17, as they come up to a kind of festival of booths, this time where they remember back many, many generations previously when they were in the wilderness. And it says this, the whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them. That was what they were meant to do in the festival of booths or the festival of tabernacles. And from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. For hundreds of years, they'd never celebrated it like that before, and their joy was very great. And I was just thinking, what would it take as we kind of come into this year and anticipate Easter and what God is doing in the city and this wonderful thing that Jesus died and rose again? What would it look like for us to celebrate that as we've never celebrated it before? And so I'm excited about how God is doing stuff bigger than just what we're doing, but we're doing stuff too. I'm excited about how it's just worked amazingly that the Holiday Club is going to be a part of that week as well at Easter time. I'm excited about other missional communities and things who are getting a vision and a picture for what they can be doing in that week. And you know God's going to get all the glory because he is at work in our nation. And it needs to be. It's a big year. It's a year as we go into it where we need his help. A year where we need to be more of prayer. There's stuff going to go on in our world this year, in Europe, and Middle East, in Iran, and who knows, North Korea. I tell you what, it's outside my control. I don't know about you. You got it wrapped up and sorted, anyone? But I know I can talk to someone who has it in his hands, and he's my dad. And I know that things that are going to happen are going to affect me and my children and my church family, but I know this, that God's got it in his hands and I can talk to him about it. And I don't need to be afraid. I can trust him because he's Abba. So as we come into this new year, the things we're going to be looking at in the morning series, we're going to be looking at the impossible life made possible from John 14 to 17. These are going to be our series in the new year, looking at this amazing time where Jesus, just again around this time, is speaking to his disciples about his departure and the sending of his Spirit. And he teaches them about prayer, teaches them about loving one another, teaches them about just how to do life when he's gone. And these are such rich passages of scripture, and a lot of the stuff in there sounds impossible, but yet God makes it possible by the gift of his Spirit. And then he prays for us. Jesus, the King of Kings, not just the Queen praying for us, the King of Kings is praying for us. We're going to look into these passages and learn to grow in understanding of the Spirit and understanding of prayer, understanding of what it means to be a people who follow Jesus Christ. And then the evenings, we're going to be looking at King David from 1 Samuel 16 to the end of 1 Samuel. And we're going to be looking at that, David's life and all that goes on in David's life, interwoven with the Psalms, which are written, many of them, during that time, and see about David's heart and his prayer life. And so again, please, if you can, come out in the evenings and let's dig into the scriptures together and grow in our praying, because our God is God and he's our Father, and we can talk to him He loves to give good gifts to his children. So talk to him. He's God, but then trust him too. That's my second and final point from this amazing verse. So Abba Father, that's the big thing I want you to go into this year with. But then this verse has two wonderful phrases that I want us to really kind of start embedding into our prayer life as we talk to Father God. The first is this, and you've got it on your prayer card. Abba Father, everything is possible for you. Everything. Should we just say that together and say it like you mean it? Abba Father, everything is possible for you. Now, we can sometimes think that other people can do lots of things or have a lot of power. People, you know, around us, my daughters think I can do lots of things. They don't know yet how much I can't do. But I tell you what, everything is possible for Father God. He is Lord of heaven and earth. I love space and looking at pictures of space and thinking about space and reading about space and, you know, watching programs or finding out about, you know, space shuttles or, you know, satellites that have gone out. And they, one of the reasons I love them is they give me a sense of the splendor and the spectacularness of it all. And let me just tell you about something that sort of launched off our planet on the 20th of August, 1977. It was a satellite called Voyager 2. Voyager 2 has gone round the solar system as different planets have passed it. It's gone out further and further. It's taken some amazing pictures. Have you seen a picture recently of Jupiter, Neptune, or Uranus? It was almost certainly taken by that satellite. But that was years ago. Past where Pluto is in the orbit and is now left the kind of solar system as we kind of know it. It's in what's called interstellar space. It's twice as far from the Earth, from the Sun, as Pluto. So you think where Pluto is in the solar system, if you can remember that, and I don't know if you got one of those emails recently where it says, imagine that's the Sun, scroll down until you get to the Earth, and you're scrolling. It's like miles to the Earth. Twice as far as Pluto is, that's where it is now. And they reckon it won't come within a light year of another star for 296,000 years. So don't wait up. And that's our next closest stars. And then when you start looking at galaxies and galaxy clusters, and the size is immense. And the Bible says, and he also made the stars. Everything is possible for you, God. And you can talk to him. You get to talk to him. I get to talk to him. I had this really kind of hit me in a very little but very real way on that day when we had the gift day at the end of last year. And I don't know if you knew this, but on the gift day, our target was like £42,000. And about 22 came in on the first day, the gift day, when that's often when most of it comes in. And I thought, that's only half, Lord. What do I need to do? I'm going to kind of get in touch with everyone in the church and say, well, guys, you know, or this or that. And God just kind of went, whoa, David, chill out. Let's talk about it. I can do this. And I'm like, do you want a hand? No, just wait, David. Watch. Pray. Ask me. So I started asking that verse where it just talks about knocking on the door persistently. And so I said to the elders, hey, guys, let's just this week, for 1 week, let's just ask God, see what he's going to do. Let's kind of really pray. And I tell you what, like never happened before, over that course of that week, just thousands came in. And as you know now, we got to a target of virtually £42,000 came in. And it's just a small way of David, of God saying to me, David, trust me, don't just think, what can you do? Think, what can I do? And ask. Talk to me about it. This year, the way things are going, economic climate, the way things are going, and but there's going to be many things where you think, what can I do? And you're not going to be able to fix it and sort it all, but God is able. God is able to look after your kids. God is able to work out his plans and purposes for their lives. God is able to work in your neighbor's life. Ask him. Talk to him about it. We get to pray. What an amazing privilege we get to pray. So let's be those who ask and keep on asking, who seek him. And you know, I can ask God for you guys for things, and I do. Even again, yesterday and this morning, I'm thinking of you personally by name, different ones of you, and slowly making my way as the weeks go by through hopefully the entire congregation praying some of specific things for your lives. But you know, one thing I can't do is I can't pray for you. I can't pray your prayers to God. I can pray that your relationship with God will deepen, but I can't talk to God instead of you. If your relationship with God is going to grow as your father, you need to talk to him. You need to be the one who's actually, as it were, opening your mouth, opening your heart and your mind and speaking to God. And I was really struck this morning when we were just praying before the service. Penny came in and she had a word for us. And I wonder, Penny, actually, whether you'd be willing to just, do you want to just stand where you are and just holler out what it was? I know I took your bit of paper, but have you got... This just really struck me as Penny was, yeah. Thanks, Penny. You know, as she was just reading that, I thought about this point in the message, and I was thinking, you know, I can't get up and pray for you. And I want to say to you this morning, get up. This matter is your responsibility. But I also want to say, like they said in that time of Ezra, we will support you in it. We will encourage you. We will spur you on this year in your praying. We will gather corporately. And I've learned so much about prayer by gathering with others corporately to pray. We will seek to get people alongside you who can pray with you and disciple you in prayer. We will do those things this year. But you need to take responsibility yourself to get up and pray. Not because you have to, but because you get to. You get to talk to Almighty God. And let that be something that just becomes part of how you do life, that you're talking to God, praying continually. And you know, one of the things that so often keeps people from prayer is sin. Is that sense that, well, how can we come to God? He won't want to hear from me. You know, it's okay for, you know, others to think of him as their dad or their father, but, you know, I used to think like that and then this happened, or I used to feel close to God. I tell you what, sonship and being part of God's family is not something you kind of fall in and out of. It's not something because, you know, I had a bad week or, you know, New Year's Eve didn't go so well that that's it. You're no longer a daughter or a son of God. No, you don't. That is not how it works with my kids. God's a way better father than that. It's not like they suddenly stop being my kids if they had a bad week. No, even more I want to draw close to them. Even more I want to hear them and I want to see their face and hear their voice. God longs for you to come to him and forgive you and to be close with you. But he does want you to realize that you can trust him. You can trust him because he made everything. And you can trust him enough to say this. Second bit of our verse. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Why did Jesus say that? Because he trusted his Father God. He trusted his love, his goodness, his power, his greatness. This is one of the most releasing things to say. I know what you're hoping for as you go into this year. But actually, this is where freedom is. Father, yet not my will, but yours be done. Should we just say that together? Yet not my will, but yours be done. We have that little free logo on the back of your verse for the year card, you know, following Jesus, reaching out, being an extended family, doing everything in love, being free people, free not to live for yourself, free to live for God, free to be led of Him. Great commentator on the Bible, a guy called J.C. Ryle, wrote some years, generations back now, he said this: we can imagine no higher degree of perfection than that which is here set before us, to like nothing but what God likes, to wish nothing but what God approves. And he goes on to say this: let us daily pray and endeavor to be enabled to mortify our self-will. It is for our happiness to do so. Nothing brings us so much misery on earth as having our own way. Nothing brings us so much misery on earth than having things our own way. Have you ever met spoiled children? Children who boss their parents about? Children who are often very unhappy? They haven't learned to trust their parents. Haven't learned to realize that their parents probably know better than the toddler how to do life. You trust in God enough to go into this year and say, God, here's my dreams, here's my requests. I'm laying them all before you. I'm asking you for these big things, these small things. But you know what, God? Yet not my will, but yours be done. I trust you. I want to live free this year. Free from anxiety and fear about whether things are going to go my way or not. Free to say, your way, God. And that comes at a cost. But it's a good cost. It's where our happiness leads. And you know why we can say that, to willingness to go down, as it were, Calvary Road, is because ultimately there's a part of this verse that's not on your card. You notice that? There's something that's in 14:36 that I don't want us to think we've got to pray every day, every week, this year. I don't want us to feel that that's a phrase we need to copy, though it's a key part of the verse in Gethsemane. It's a very key part of what Jesus prays. What was it? Take this cup from me. What was the cup? I've got a cup. It's not a big deal. Take this cup from me. What was the cup? The cup that Jesus was referring to was a cup spoken about in the Old Testament, the cup of the judgment and wrath of Almighty God for the sin of the world. The punishment. Jesus was there praying in the garden. And if you ever want to see a little picture of the seriousness of sin and the consequences of sin, look at the sweat and the blood dripping from Jesus' face in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look at this one who prays to his Father, knowing that his Father's will is best, knowing that this is why he came. Look at him pleading and saying, if there is another way, take this cup from me. Because this cup that Jesus drank on the cross, the judgment of God being forsaken and abandoned by his Father, even though for a short time. That cup he drank. But he drank it so that you and I wouldn't have to drink it. He drank it so that we could know that this cup could be taken away from us. He was going to take it away from us. He drank it so that others wouldn't have to face that, but they too would be able to have that cup taken away from them. And that doesn't mean that the road is not still covered with difficulty, that we have to journey with him. But what it does mean is that though on that road he at one stage had the Father forsake him, it means that for us, as we walk into 2012 with the difficulties and the challenges and the struggles that there will be, the costs that there will be, he will go with us. Always. Can we see that picture of Father and Son again? He will go with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You can talk to him at any time. You can trust him at all times. He is our Abba Father. Abba Father. Why? How? Because the Son who knew him, the eternal Son, Jesus Christ, had died for us to enable us to come into that relationship with him. He has given us his Spirit, the Spirit of Sonship that enables us to cry, Abba Father, to walk with God all our days so that we don't need to pray, take this cup from me, because he has taken it. He has taken it. Unless, of course, you've not let go of it because you don't trust Jesus. You're kind of saying, no, no, this is still my sin. Actually, maybe this sin doesn't need anyone to die for. I can sort it out, Jesus. Don't hold on to it. Let him take the cup. Let him take the cup. Let as this year ends, you not go into 2012 with 2011 sins still sticking to you, still weighing you down, still burdening you with guilt. Maybe for the first time, or maybe for the many times, you need just to remember again, he's done it, he's taken it away. You can leave that stuff with him. Kind of sometimes talk of it as leaving it in 2011, that's actually not much good. You need to leave it with Jesus. As we come into this year, leave that with him. Say thank you to him and receive again the Spirit of Sonship, of being a daughter, a son of Almighty God. Knowing you can walk through the year ahead with him and just start now talking to him about your year ahead, your week ahead. Say, here it is, God. These are the things that I'm concerned about. These are the things I'm excited about. And in this moment now of quiet, I'm just going to invite the band to come up and play. And we're just going to allow for God's Spirit to just come and touch our lives, to let us leave things in 2011 and the rest of our lives before that with Jesus. Let him take them. Let him deal with our sins. Say thank you to him. And then come and, as it were, bring your requests, your heart to God. Talk to him. Say you trust him. You might, if you don't know what else to pray, just pray that prayer that's there on your card right in front of your hand. Abba Father, everything is possible for you. Yet not my will, but yours be done.